come to love worship. Come to love it because it puts me in a place in His presence. I come to love it too because it's like a thorn in the devil's spirit. It's a thorn in his spirit when he can't cause any more hell for you and you won't put your hands down. Hallelujah. Nothing. I think nothing irritates him worse. Standing there in the truth of his word. The more I study the centuries that's past and the generations, you can see where the devil pull the same thing and develop it out as far as he can, and then some revival will break out again somewhere and it'll spread and he tracks it down. He's been doing the same thing over and over. He's got a right to fear you. Because Jesus, you know, he says, look, I give you power over one third of the power of the enemy. He's got a right to fear you because some morning you may wake up and find out who you are. Well, I already know who I am. Well, who you are is usually what you do. I'm leaving while I'm not stoned. Stoned is something. This guy was on dope and said, well, Stephen got stoned. This wasn't the same kind. I said, so I had you sit down and say, lift those hands in victory and impending victory, and for what's about to happen in Tulsa. Now's a really good time to laugh at the devil when he's not sure what's going on.
He's not even worth talking about.
That's funny. Jesus said you needed to be wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. And why would I need that kind of wisdom if he didn't have a whole arsenal full of weaponry? That it took the wisdom of God and the understanding to disarm him. You think you're religious, you ought to see him. So does he live in any kind of fear? Yeah, that one morning you wake up and go, I know who I am. From then on, he would be known as a tornado chaser. You know, you look at it as a piece of paper. And you look at it and somebody jumps up and says, God said it. He's the one that wrote it. And you look at this piece of paper and it says, all things are possible to him that believeth. You go, yeah, but you know, of course it is, but it's out there somewhere that we don't understand, you know. You you read the word and who it says that you are, you go, and he hates you. He hates you to have victory celebrations and worshiping God and thanking him for being who he is, making you his son and daughter, and the promises he gave to you. And victory is yours, and revival is on the horizon. Hallelujah. Well, right now, it's his job to get mean. That's what he does. If you're stupid enough to turn against God when you lived with him, and then he threw you in a pit for 1,000 years, you got out and you're still stupid that you try to whip him, you don't have much sense. That speaks of his tenacity. He thinks he's going to win this. He can think again. He's not winning this one. History is not going to repeat itself. The part that's going to go away is the part where it's finally disbanded and fails, instead of finishing its course and getting more solid. And do you know what he hates the worst? I mean, just you personally. You're a real problem to him. He don't like you. He don't like you whether you look good or not, or... He doesn't like you, period. And the hatred goes so deep that he's tried to destroy entire creation since the day that he visited Eve in the garden. Well, at times I got to see where somebody had to just step in and just get a hold of what Jesus said. Just wreak just havoc on the generation of God's outpourings. I mean, just glimpses of what he wants to do. When we say things like he wants to do this, he wants to do this more than we want him to, and we think, huh? Well, we're believing. Hey, I've been around a long time. I really want this. God just don't know how much that we want this. So whatever you want, that's a him. He wants it for you. Amen. More than you do. Well, there's something in here the Holy Spirit's bridging. I mean, he's bridging happenings with God. This is supposed to be this way, so this is the way it's going to be. So, but a long time ago, I had a vision of the governor's office. And the first one had the desk and the flag and all that, so I'd know what it was. But the second one, it seemed to be filled up with parents, and they couldn't wait to get in and tell what had happened to their child. So if I remember correctly, it was the time when he was taking all my excuses away from me. He says, whose fault is it if you pray for a blind, deaf, and dumb child who is 2 or 3 months old, born that way? Can you blame it on the child? Was it God's will for him to be born like that? Did Jesus bear the sicknesses and pains of the child? You mean if I pray for him and nothing happens, I can't blame it on the child? Then I'll go to the parents. You're not believing enough. we're facing the supernatural like that, obviously, to have something we haven't had, we're obviously going to end up doing something we haven't done. But this part, I do know how to use my faith in. And that's not to stray too far from what brings the change. So if I got enough faith to keep doing, or what keeps transforming me more and more to the image of not only who He is, but what He does. Well, these people were trying to get into the governor's office because they wanted to show their child and testify to what he had done, and it was on a city level. I'm thinking, is it really getting this close? I had that vision something like 16 years ago. Is it really getting this close? So, would you lift his hand up like this? We just don't want your fingerprint. We want your whole palm. Just, I remember when you come in on crutches from the hospital. I tried to throw them up against the curtain and let them bounce off the curtain because we had other crutches and stuff up. That's where we kept them. But what did I hit? I threw them up there and hit something, a communion table or something. What was it? I hit the drums. Okay, that makes sense. So was it one or two crutches? Two. And he went that way. Okay, his cane went that way and he ran that way. Yes. So, lifting these hands like this with all your heart, Father, I want to thank you, glorify and magnify and exalt you. I just want to worship you for another moment. I prayed for her from time to time. So you kind of are prone to walk by because you see people weeping, and sometimes one's heart's more tender than another. And so sometimes I tend to walk by without listening, and sometimes he'll get a little loud when somebody pulls something down or attains to something, or when he wants to talk to him for a minute. How would she know I'm talking about her? She's not got her eyes open. If he waited until we all lined our perfect little souls up to do anything, it would look just like religion looks today. In other words, for most of the generations, if he didn't use people with problems, he wouldn't have anybody to use. This guy, he's pretty big in Tulsa when I first moved here, but he'd already gone. I don't remember his name, and I'm glad. But he carried, he just got arrested, jail sentence, because when he'd go evangelize overseas, he carried a bunch of underage girls with him to prostitute. Oh, they sure threw him in jail. But he preached in Tulsa here at one time. What happens? One time I was trying to get him to tell me which is stronger. Is unbelief, does that stop you quicker than a person that has faith, but he's got a problem and he don't want to give the problem up? It might not be a bad, really bad problem, but it could be slightly immoral. You know, but God uses him. So I said, which one stops you the worst? This guy just tears into the problem and knows you'll do it, even though he's got problem, or the guy that sets back and quakes, just hands unbelief over to you. I'm not justifying anything. What I'm trying to do is take those steps. Where the city has to pay attention. And I already saw the governor's office. Don't mind me, I'm just waiting on him. Yeah, come up here. Somebody might have to help her a little, I don't know. I know. This person is like this, and the other one is like this, and this one has that problem, and another one has that problem. And loves all of us. We become the mighty judges. Well, I don't know why you use them and won't use me. If you buy others, I'm angry. But I can tell you this. The devil did. Up until that point, took his best shot at you. And the one thing you wouldn't absolutely abort or give up in all the fighting, and that was the time that you give in prayer, even though, like all of us, sometimes it was a little more seasonal than others. But I can say that you've laid hold of something and you pulled it down. And whatever it was, it'd been stopping you for some time. So I had to go by three times and listen to finish getting this. So a lot of people aren't getting good news at the moment. But concerning spiritual things, your news is getting good. So, Father, you've done this. You've done this with all our heart. At times I get a scary peek. I call it scary because you catch glimpses, like, you know, like the resurrection. You catch glimpses and you see things that just can, you just, how would the world say, put you away, only they use another term. You just he just throws you into, instead of faith, and just utter unbelief that it could have been so much further beyond what you even imagined. And these little visions has to do with what he is doing and wants to do. I could go into chapters now and pay the penny. The 1 hour is the same as the guy that worked the full 11 plus the one. All got the same payment.
They said, we've forsaken all to follow you.
I know it was Peter that said that. He's always the one that opened his mouth to say something.
What do we get?
That was just after he dealt with the rich young ruler. He said, I've kept those commandments. What do I lack? He looked at him. He said, you want to be perfect? See, what he kept saved him. You want me to be perfect? Give your fortune to the poor. Come and follow me. That kind of shook the other apostles up a little. He couldn't. He just couldn't do it. So Peter says, we left everything to follow you. What do we get? Said, no man can do this. Leave father and mother, wives, children, lands, and houses. That he'll receive 100-fold again. We've always made 100-fold money. He wasn't talking about money. There's no use starting something I can't finish. I mean, at the moment. Because I see things coming. Sometimes he comes and he has me prepare you for the next war that's on the horizon that's supposed to overturn us and stop us and either us make a religion out of us that'll never do anything or bust us up. I don't get to run a service like I will. I thank God for the teaching gifts he's given us now. These genuine teaching gifts like you learn from here. They don't teach out of their mind, they teach out of yours. It wouldn't be any good to teach way over your head where you never learned anything. If the Holy Ghost knows how to balance it and take you step by step in. Well, we talked about this before. We had to go to an early service because he kept wanting me to start the born-again trail, but yet he kept wanting to move and do a whole bunch of stuff. So we finally put an early service in to get that out of the way. I thought it would only take 6 months. So 5 years after that, I'm looking back going, long 6 months. So these teachers and different anointings are doing the same thing. They're moving in the Spirit and they're giving you. Have you ever noticed how sometimes Al and those will stop and they'll listen for a little bit and they're receiving the next part of what needs to be said, of what you need to digest. We're not supposed to stay the same. We're definitely not supposed to go backwards. So if we're making waves and changing things through prayer, then why wouldn't God prepare us for what's around the corner? So he'll grab a hold of me and he'll say, "No, I want you to prepare them for this. Prepare them for this, a little bit of this." Now, whatever we were preparing for before, I got hit pretty hard. About probably 5 different things coming from different directions. I was the collision post. What did you do? Oh, I tried to get up and come to prayer, but I run off the road. Now it's trying to drive to the end of our drive. I turn left and go to the end of the street and then get on the main street. So I was trying to make the right turn. And I went all the way over to the other side of the street and turned into the ditch. I went back home. Well, I got pounded pretty hard. I didn't heed my own warning like I should have. I got pounded pretty hard, but my eyes got opened in time to know that that little rascal that caused me that trouble, whatever he is, he's dead and all his friends are dead too. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. I will read some of those verses. For it's changed, well, it's added to now. For the most part, he's saying, that the more that you give yourself to the Holy Spirit, it'll be my direction you're giving yourself to. And I can prepare you for those things which are to come. But not only can I prepare you for those things which are to come, but also for the great victories that will be won along the way to what I prize the most, which is the lost sheep of my family. And for this cause, some of you that's prayed yourself, you prayed yourself close to a change that I'm beginning to make in those who I can. For in this change, it will bring more persecution because my signs and wonders will be stronger and the manifestation will draw much criticism and much attention. So hang on and be strong. For when I can get a person close enough, then I begin to nurture them and pull them through from where they're walking and making intercession into another place with me where I'm ready to do something that hadn't been done before. And that last part, that would be in our history, our lives. So many, many of you who've been stubborn about it, you've had your seasons, but you just keep coming back. And he's getting us close to something where he wants to pull a bunch of us through together. I mean, For in the scripture that he wanted me to give you, it was his desire that you understand the authority that you have beyond what is the pattern of normal believing. And I said, well, that's good. If I knew what it meant. Okay, why don't we go over there for a minute then? Let me see, it's an obscure chapter that I'm trying to think, if I can think of where it is. Romans 8. Okay. I once taught a message out of this, I think. Just save a little bit of time. Let's kick on ahead to the 18th verse. Yes, sir. That does. How many of you have noticed and kind of like an anticipation, a pulling, but not quite know what to do with it? And maybe I'll spend more time in prayer and longer, and I don't know quite what to do with this. How many is feeling a pulling and an expectation like that? That's him. That's him. So let's look just a little bit of what part of this kind of praying he wanted us to begin to look forward to for when the revival spreads like fire. I've been there when people who couldn't see saw, couldn't hear, heard. You can't imagine how you can feel, much less how they'd feel. What do you think a group of 50 adults collected together after a service, who were blind before the service and could see after, and they all go out to eat? What do you think? What do you think would happen? You think they'd ever let that go? You think they wouldn't bother the town that they're in? Can you imagine them trying to explain to each other and discovering color for the first time and wondering what this one is and what this color is and what this is? The devil has a lot to stop. He don't like you. He don't like me, but he couldn't kill me before I got that book out. He said, not going to kill me after. But if Mark 4 says, Satan came immediately to steal the word that was sown in her heart. Persecution, affliction, the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things is what he used. But he used that to choke the word, to cancel it, do anything to stop it. He can't let us go there. He can't. See, you're not only running around praying in a foundational revelation gift, but you're teaching other people to do it too. So you're doing to them what he come to stop. You're teaching them how to fill themselves up with the word that causes faith and the walk of the Spirit and the walk of power. And he's come to stop that. And we're not going to be centered out, be called ugly once in a while. So what would these 50 people do? How about deaf, dumb, and blind? Can you imagine the aftermath of when Jesus gathered the masses and healed them all and then went on? How in the world did religion survive a revival like that? Beginning then with this 19th or 18th verse, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity or corruption, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope." And the hope of what? Well, all creation was subjected to imperfection and corruption in hope of a new heaven and a new earth. But he said in 21, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to be complete, or to wit, that the redemption of our bodies. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen, it's not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait on it." Did you notice what he gave you to help? You're waiting in a world subjected to imperfection and corruption in a body, and an adoption to be made complete, the redemption of our body. And he said, we're hoping. We're living in this hope. But look at what he gave you to help your weaknesses in this. In 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also, he helps our infirmities, our inabilities to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, he knows what is the plan of God. He knows his mind. And it enables him to make intercession for the saints according to God's will then. And then we can know all things will begin to work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to," ooh, now he's working his purpose. You mean that praying in tongues does all of that? Yes. I want you to notice how he talked about, the creature and creation. It was all subjected to corruption, not only they, but ourselves also. Waiting for this new body. I know I look like I already got it, but he says, so look. While you're waiting, he said, this is how the Holy Spirit can help your inabilities to produce results. And how? And of course, he talked about the groaning part there. But it's connected with the praying in tongues part there and the whole edification process. But when he says not only all creation was subjected to corruption, but us also, then we do get a new heaven and a new earth. So if your mansion's already been built, he's going to have to move it. After the great white throne judgment, when the sea was emptied, death and hell and the grave, and they all stood before him and whose name wasn't found written in the book, cast into the lake of fire. And then it changes chapters, and John says, and I beheld a new heaven and a new earth. Well, I know I'm living in one that's subjected to corruption. I know it's laboring under imperfection. That's where earthquakes and disasters. And look what's happening now. Skyline on fire. Israel's burning. Years ago, I saw this unfold in front of me, all this natural disaster, which just got worse and worse and worse. This is what he wanted me to talk to you about today. Just a little. We usually stop with our authority. With this. If we know one thing from the teaching, we know. This is my body. I live here. It's supposed to last about 100 years. 120 would be good. You know, this crazy body of mine, I have a new nature inside that, same one Jesus has. That, you know, this body of mine, you know how dumb it is? Just because it can take disease doesn't mean it has to. A stupid body will take disease. That doesn't mean I have to take it. Why? That's part of the authority he gave us. Look, he says, while you're waiting for this new heaven and new earth and this new body, let me show you how you can help your weaknesses. Well, just because my body will take disease doesn't mean I have to take it. Whatever attacked me is dead and I'm not. Everybody is somewhere, going somewhere. So who cares where you're at? Why would we judge you? You're on a path. You're not going to stay the same. I'm not either. But just because my body will take disease doesn't mean I have to take it. Because Jesus took my sicknesses and he carried my pains. And I can tell you something else that terminated. For this man died once at the end of the world. He's already paid the price for a new heaven and a new earth. And even though this one is laboring under imperfection, doesn't mean that he hasn't already paid for one that won't take imperfection, nor will we have any more problems like that. Can you imagine going back to the Garden of Eden? Whew. Tell you. Right? My body will take disease, won't it? Don't agree with that. It can take it, but I don't have to. Well, the things that's happening on a world scale now, the disasters, as you know from prophecies in times past, they would do nothing but increase and finally get to the degree where it would affect us. Our supply, just about everything you can think of. Already people are asking questions. Like, should I store food? If you want. Now, he took and delivered the Jews out of the desert by raining manna from heaven on them. But then he had seven fat cows. So got ate by seven skinny cows. So he had them lay up in stores for 7 years of famine. So one time he had them get ready for it. The other time. So whatever you want. So what? Do what you want.
Well, it's a lack of faith.
Well, you wouldn't mean to understand that. That's a whiner. So at once he just rained food from heaven, and the other time the skinny cows ate the fat ones through the famine. So, wherever you're walking, that's fine. Nobody's going to get mad at you. You want to put some stores up? Put some stores up. Who cares? Just don't stop working his plan and going from glory to glory. So things aren't exactly going to get better. And this is not like, you know, you can prophesy the other way. That's the purpose of the teaching. Is this is my body. I have authority. It can take disease, but I don't have to. Well, Tulsa is the city he gave for revival. Now, Tulsa will take disasters. Tornadoes, they just love us. If ever a tornado go by, has lipstick on. They just loves us. One time it tore up us. 5 square miles or 4 or something in Oklahoma City and was heading this way. And I prophesied the thing two weeks before that it was coming. And she lifted up and veered out of our area and didn't lift us off the face of the earth. But what are you teaching? Well, I know this planet is laboring in imperfection and terminating like my body is. But just because natural disasters can take place here and there doesn't mean it has to take place where I live. Do I have authority? Or do you think Jesus walked on water just to show off? He could have had a camel train bring the food into the meeting. That wouldn't have been hard. Timed it just right. Here comes the camel train with food. Feed the 5,000 and their families. But did he? No, he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. Once he's showing off, he did everything for a purpose. Why was Stephen translated? Why didn't he just walk the 30, 40 miles to Astos? Why didn't he just walk? Gone. What was God showing off? He just didn't want him to walk across the desert? No. No, he was doing it for a reason. He's the head of the church. He said, the works I do, you'll do also. Greater than these, there's a teaching connected with that because I go to the Father. I wasn't doing any of it to show off, including paying his taxes. Hallelujah. So you mean I have... Yes. Yes, it is accessible. What would you rather have? The the city wiped out and everybody in it lost horror. Are you stepping in? When I dealt with the thing on a tornado shelter, storm shelter, where you dig a hole in the ground so you can run down there. It takes everything off the surface. You're in the hole. I was going to go ahead and dig one and put it all in so that I was out on the road and one was heading for the home, the family would feel secure by me calling and saying, you know, go to the shelter. But living there by myself, if that would have been the case, I wouldn't have. Would you condemn us? No. No. I never did build one. I intended on it, but just never did. But this planet is laboring in imperfection. But don't you misjudge the authority that you walk in.
Well, we can't even get a cold off of us, and you want us to stop a tornado?
Maybe you'll get with it if you're going to die. Hey, in that realm of the supernatural, people cannot be around it and stay the same. They get saved or they run like a wild, scalded devil. I didn't want you to think I scalded a dog. Pues corriendos. Thank you, Father. Lo vramatis curalichendo. Hu grandis quise. For then faith comes by hearing and understanding what you heard. So when you hear what I have for you, then you that's walking closer, you desire those things that at times you can get close enough for my grace. Boski o talitu, a talitu, mokretoleski, hamatea. That in these times when there's a gifting present and you've been getting closer and closer to it, that he can move. He can move and impart something that couldn't be earned anyway. Now, Father, I want to thank you, as every person in here agrees with me, that in this revival we're having, we don't care. We're taking authority over destruction. We don't care how he sends or what vehicle he uses. We're having our revival. That, Father, the meanwhile, we take the authority that you're trying to teach us about, impart to us, that we can use these things that stop destruction until the people we're praying for are born again and safely in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's very close. He's very close. I could have taught on the other, and he brought me back to the word part, and I strayed again, and he brought me back again. I strayed from a prophecy, and he brought me back to it. He's close. Why don't you stand up and I don't think there'd be anybody in here not interested in receiving that grace to where his faith and his supernaturally come on you and the gift. And you can say, no, you don't, tornado. Not at my house. It's okay. Who wouldn't want to be able to hear that and receive that boldness inside when something destructive says, I've got your name. Disease has to listen because Jesus already died under the penalty of it. And you died with him and it has not got the power to kill you twice. I already died of cancer once. I will not do it again. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm going home like Abraham and Moses in a rich old age unless he comes and gets me. And we're going to major on setting people free till he takes us or we take that last breath. Either way, we don't care because we know, Jesus, you said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, I do. But everybody dies, Master Jesus. No, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He that believes on me will never die. Why? Because I've already passed from death to life. So I'm not going to die. Is your body going to fall off? Probably. I don't. I might get up one morning and it don't get up. I don't care. I've already died.
Amen.
When I died with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. So why wouldn't he give us this authority? Why wouldn't he? Peter says, what are we? We left everything to follow you. You get 100-fold mothers and fathers and wives and children and houses and lands. Heaven is just going to be filled up by you guys. Do you think that'd be enough now? This is what he wants.
Well, will he take care of my needs?
Oh, yeah. Every day. Every day. And I get to feel heaven. Will he? Yes, he will. Will he stop this? Yes, he will. Meanwhile, what will you be doing? Fill in heaven. 100-fold mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and lands and houses. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know it's been unusual. I know it's been unusual, but I can't not obey him. It never pays. So are you ready? Put those hands up. And as much as possible and all that you can do. And your promises, and it was you through the Holy Spirit that led us even down this path today. For us who are ready and willing and able, and for us that are reaching and will. We don't know. We know what you want. We know what your instructions is. That we're very close to you and the grace. The grace, Father, that has to do with not only our bodies, but our surroundings, where our feet walk, our houses, where we dwell. Father, we thank you for this authority. And we receive that grace that Jesus so graciously provided and imparted to us. We receive it in Jesus' name. When we speak, it'll be full of something that says, it's done. It's done. And it'll always be linked with the lost. It's done. It's done. It's done. In Jesus' name. And Father, now impart that grace. Whatever manner. However you do this. To each individually throughout the day. Today, this week. I don't know how you work on this level. But I do know what you want. So in Jesus' name, we receive the grace to walk in our environment with authority, not only over disease, but over catastrophe that involves us. In Jesus' name. And for that, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah.